You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
It's Tuesday, so you know what that means, even though we've been doing it on Wednesdays a lot of this time. But it means that we are doing our Pro Football Focus crossover. Today we have on the Locked On Wolverines podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day, we have Seth Galina. So Seth is going to join us to talk a bit about what he's seen from Michigan football, not just this last week, but so far. I should also note that I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole. But Seth, thank you for joining. Really excited to have you, man.
Man, your time. I love talking about the 3-0 Michigan Wolverines. They're playing good football, man. This is exciting.
It's definitely not what a lot of people expected. And it certainly, if people were expecting it, it was you would normally have said that they were being the utmost homers, but they are Michigan's playing, it seems, well in all phases. But so before we get into I should have brought this up in the pre-show, but before we get into actually talking about Michigan, one of our loyal listeners, Mark Zimke @MarkZimke on Twitter, had wanted to know what is your guys's process at PFF for doing all of this grading, because you have to parse through so much stuff, so many different players, and give everybody a grade, give everything a grade. What is that process, out of curiosity, if you could share just a tiny bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, there's probably a better explanation somewhere out there on the internet. I think, honestly, if you Google like PFF, well, I guess just Googling PFF grades will just get you too much, but I know there's a link that you can find where we go over how the grades work. But you know, the main thing is that we're watching every game. There's like with PFF, there's, man, I believe there's over 10 different what we call processes. So there is the grades, which are, and the way it's done is on a scale of +2 to -2, which is very similar, I would say, to how your favorite college coaches, your favorite high school coaches, you know, NFL coaches are grading their own players. You know, every play they get a grade, plus grade, it's a negative grade. We do it +2 to -2 in 0.5 increments. So there's guys who are looking at that process, but that's really not the only thing. And yes, it is our most known thing, but honestly, there's so much more. I mean, there's people who are looking at every defensive snap to chart the coverages. Is this cover one? Is this cover three? Is this cover four? Is this cover zero, etc.? There's people looking at the blocking schemes. Is this inside zone? Is it outside zone, etc., etc.? And just like, honestly, like the first process is, you know, putting down who's playing what position on every snap. You know, like here's you know, Aiden Hutchinson playing left outside defensive end. Now he's playing right outside defensive end, and then. So there's like so many different processes that aren't just the grades. And I think that's really important because we have so much more than just the grades. You know, we have, you know, for receivers, you can look at yards per route run. You know, for quarterbacks, pressure stats. Is he good under pressure? Is he good from a clean pocket? Stuff like that. So there's so much more than just the grades. Obviously, the grades are super important and they give you really good context. But yeah, there's so much more than just the grades. So a whole bunch of different processes.
Well, just certainly it's interesting, and it's one of those things where it's, you guys do so much, and I'm amazed that any of you can speak intelligently about any team, because I have a hard time speaking intelligently about Michigan, and it's the only game I watch most weeks. I don't remember what happened half the time.
I shouldn't give this away publicly, but I do, you know, obviously, I do the NFL and I do college. So now I used to do some of the charting, like I was talking about. Now I just, you know, I'm just writing and doing stuff like that content wise. But I do have to, you know, speed run, I'll say, some of the games quickly, just to get a feel for what's going on, especially games that I didn't watch on Saturdays and Sundays and Friday night and Monday night and Thursday night as well. But yeah, so you gotta pick your battles, I think, when you're doing this type of job.
Well, let's get into Michigan just a little bit before we get like delve really deep into it. Not that we're going to get that deep into it, because who really wants to get into a thorough breakdown of Northern Illinois? So we'll just kind of get into what Michigan is in your eyes. But first, it just seems like Michigan fans. Let me backtrack. There was a really good tweet. I don't know if you follow three-year Letterman, the joke account on Twitter, which I absolutely love. He had a, and this was in response to someone else's advanced analytics, but they had said like Michigan would be the top team in the country if you remove a lot of preseason expectations.
Yeah, I saw that's Bill Connolly's S&P rankings. If you remove the preseason projections, which you shouldn't, but go on.
Right. But the three-year Letterman said, I've never seen a tweet that so perfectly angers both Michigan fans and their rival fans and everyone else. And it's Michigan fans, certainly, even with the advanced analytics, they're like, stop. They don't want to hear it, right? But Michigan's getting high grades for the most part from you guys over at PFF. So what are you seeing that makes it look like, hey, Michigan might actually be a really good team?
Yeah, well, it's funny because if you had said before the season started, hey, they're 3-0 with three big time wins, three blowout wins, you would said, okay, yeah, you know, Northern Illinois, first week was Western Michigan, I believe, one of the directional Michigan schools. And then, oh, a blowout win against Washington. Like, oh, that's okay. Maybe Michigan is really good. And then obviously, you know, Washington loses to an FCS team to start the season. They're clearly just not. Maybe they'll turn it around, but clearly maybe they're just not that good of a team this year. So the 3-0 doesn't look as good as you would have thought it would have looked in the preseason. But with that said, I'm enjoying watching them. That's all I can say. It's like I enjoy watching what they're doing on offense and defense. And the main thing is going to be, hey, is the quarterback as good as we think he is right now? So he grades really well, throwing the ball accurately. Obviously, you know, the game last week against Northern Illinois, didn't really have to throw the ball a lot. But he did some really nice things. Honestly, he's taking what the defense is giving him. There's some plays where he's got a nice little side-on release once in a while, which I like. You know, he's got a little bit of a cannon. Like, you're surprised by what you're seeing out of Cade McNamara. And, you know, there was a one play where I think it's that long touchdown on down the sideline. I forget to which receiver.
Cornelius Johnson, yeah.
Right, and that's a really nice throw. He had missed a deep throw a little earlier against Cover Zero, which, you know, I'm sure you'd like back. But what I liked by that was a double move on the sideline. Mm. And, you know, normally when you get a double move, you're going to look at that receiver, you're going to pump fake him, and then you're going to get the cornerback to bite. But he saw pre-snap that it was man coverage. And against man coverage, you know, the cornerback is not looking at you. So why do I have to pump fake a corner who's not even going to be looking at me faking him out? So what I like what he did was he knew he was going to go to that double move down the side the whole time, but he looked, it was cover one with one high safety, and he looked at that safety the whole time and said, oh, safety, look at me. I'm going to throw you the ball right now. And then with good timing under pressure, because it takes a long time to run like a deep, it was like a medium sized, you know, out and up, took, you know, free rusher coming at him, and he throws his delicious ball down. Delicious. What a weird word to use for throw. He throws a delicious ball down the sideline, and they get the big play. And that's good quarterback play. Like, yes, again, is it the best teams are facing? No, but that's really smart and good quarterback play. And I've been impressed. You know, I'll say the other thing that I wanted to get out there, because I saw that Harbaugh had taken a question from a reporter about how, you know, is this offense really good to draw in recruits because you're playing with tight ends and stuff? And then he answered just like, hey, we're trying to move the ball. Like, of course, I don't care. Like, we play with 9 fullbacks and 9 tight ends if we can win a national championship. So, but, you know, watching the offense, I'm just like, it's fun. Like, yeah, okay, you're playing with your tight ends. First of all, the spread is dead. It's over. Like, just playing with, like, 9 receivers on the field, spreading everyone out is just, it's not viable anymore. Defenses have seen it for 15, 20 years now. They know how to play it. Everyone is fast. You know, linebackers are fast. They can move, they can run, they can play bubble screens, whatever. So what Michigan's doing is just saying, okay, we're going to play with 2 tight ends a lot. They're not playing with a fullback. They're playing with 2 tight ends a lot. but we're going to use different formations. We're going to use a lot of unbalanced formations, whether that's like really a true unbalance where you have four receivers to one side, or you're playing with like three receivers to one side and just a single tight end on the backside. Like, they're going to use a lot of different formations. They're going to use a lot of different run schemes, counter and zone and all that stuff. And they're going to get a lot of motion, you know, whether it's just jet motion to get to the outside or just motion to change the strength of the formation before the snap. They're doing a lot of that stuff. It is a very interesting offense that, again, they're going to get into the tougher part of their schedule, but you can kind of multiply that multiplicity on offense with good quarterback play. You might have something there.
Well, I want you to hold that thought about the offense, because there's always there's some misconceptions generally when it comes to what we're seeing. And I really want to get into that here in a moment, but we have to do a quick break here. It's just to pay the bills and everything. So College Football Fanatics, have you heard about Prize Picks? Prize Picks is a daily fantasy system made easy. I love this. I know you will too. Prize Picks offers every sport you can think of, like NFL, college football, NBA, college basketball, MLB, soccer, MMA, more. Prize Picks offers more college football props than anyone in the world and offers star players of the Power Five, as well as mid-major players you might not have thought of or ever even heard of. Prize Picks offers any prop that you can think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. Anyone can make their deposit using the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll receive 100% instant deposit match of up to $100. Pick 2 to 5 players and an over-under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. PrizePicks also even allows mixed sport entries. That means you can take the over on LeBron combined with the under on Patrick Mahomes in the same entry. Use the award-winning app that you can get on the Apple App Store or Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's just that easy. PrizePicks is safe and offers fast withdrawals, so don't hesitate. Check out PrizePicks.com. Go to the App Store. Download the app today. PrizePicks is daily fantasy made easy. Now, I also got to tell you about RockAuto.com. I've used that service often, and it saved me thousands of dollars, quite literally. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique. It's also remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle. Choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and for do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck, right locked on in there. How did you hear about us, box? So they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, Seth, so you're talking about the offense and how it's, the spread is dead. I mean, it's funny because we think about this, the spread offense, and it's like, oh, this newfangled offense. And yet when Michigan hired Rich Rodriguez, the end of the 2007 season, you know, that was when the spread was really growing in popularity as a newfangled offense. We're talking 14 years ago.
It's a long time.
But like, there's this misconception, I feel, about Jim Harbaugh's offenses. And now I know this is more Josh Gattis's offense than Jim Harbaugh's offense, but there's always this conception that it's just so old school. It's so archaic. It doesn't have like any innovation. It's literally just, you know, line up an offensive line, hand it off to a running back and just go straight, you know, in a dive play. While it might've been kind of that a little bit in 2017, 2018, It really hasn't been that in, you know, not in 15 or 16, not last year, even though it didn't really work last year, certainly not this year. So could you speak on like what makes this offense so interesting? Why it isn't just like a, you know, 1920s offense as some people seem to want to think it is?
Well, I mean, the one thing I'll say is that they don't do a lot of RPOs, which I couldn't tell you why. you'd like to see maybe a few more sprinkled in here and there just to get some easy throws, whether they're, it's just a bubble screen or any type of receiver screen. Doesn't have to be a downfield like slant RPO type of situation, but whatever, that's not the end of the world. But what I think, you know, a lot of people, you talk about the spread and it's like LSU, when LSU won the national championship in 2019, when they, you know, went from a heavy offense to like a spread type of offense, 11 personnel spread offense, it kind of fried people's minds a bit. The reason LSU won a national championship is because Joe Burrow happened to be one of the best quarterbacks of all time. And you can be in this type of spread-ish formation and run a lot of, you know, five-man protections because Joe Burrow was going to make a guy miss and run around the backfield and throw a completion. Like, that's not – and, you know, the same with in the NFL with Kansas City. It's like, yeah, you can be in all these five-man protections because Patrick Mahomes is going to do whatever the hell he wants and he's going to throw the ball down the field and score a touchdown. Most teams can't handle that. So it's okay if you want to play with two tight ends and protect with seven. LSU protected with seven a lot in that year, and they threw down the field a lot. That's how you throw down the field. Protect with six, seven, eight guys. You have three receivers down the field, and that's how you're going to get these explosive plays that we're all looking for. It's just tough to be in a spread, have all these one-on-one matchups, and expect to win all the time. Especially if you're not going to protect your quarterback. So with Michigan's offense, what I see is, like I said, like, yes, it's a lot of two tight ends, but they're moving players around. And they, you know, even in a game against Northern Illinois where, yeah, they could just end up and do kind of whatever they want and they'll win by 40.
All right, my phone's on. So sorry if that interrupted you there for a second. I apparently forgot to put my phone on silent. So apologies.
Last night in the gym, my phone, I was listening to music on my headphones, and then for some reason, my headphones decided they weren't going to connect to my phone for a second, and the music started playing from my phone speakers in the middle of the gym, and that's pretty much the most embarrassing thing that can happen to a human being in 2021. Anyways.
So you feel me? You understand? You understand?
I understand. Yeah.
I usually have my watch, so my phone's normally on silent regardless, and I don't have my watch on because it's charging, so. I'm derailing the show. Let's get back to what you were saying.
Yeah. So like, look, two tight ends is okay. And like against Northern Illinois, you saw them in so many different formations and that's going to cause, you know, defenses trouble just to line up. Like you want to give your team a chance, maybe just by lining up in a different formation and then motioning like, oh my God, we haven't seen this formation yet. We got to get lined up to it. It's a little different because it's unbalanced because it's 3-by-1, whatever. And then, oh my God, they just motioned back. And now we got to deal with all the motion rules that we have. So I think what they're doing makes sense. It doesn't work because, you know, in the three games they played, their offensive line could just manhandle people. Yeah. I mean, we talked about the center, Andrew Vistardis, has been one of the highest PFF graded, you know, interior offensive linemen so far this year. So, you know, it helps. But at the same time, like, they're doing stuff to create confusion on defense. Because as much as I want to believe like Cade McNamara is a really good quarterback, you don't know yet. And you might as well do that stuff to help your quarterback. Like, it's just tough to, you know, it's tough to live in a world where you're like Clemson's finding out this year. It's tough to just live in a world of spread stuff and just let your, and then have your quarterback just be a superstar. So I think it's really interesting what they're doing. There are a lot of different running schemes and the motion, the formation, just a lot. Put it all together, and it's not an easy offense to stop.
Now, that's what I want to know, and both offensively, defensively. I mean, I guess we'll add special teams in there. It's, I know that special teams have been great for Michigan so far, but I, like we've talked about, we don't know how good the level of competition is. I just did my morning show, The Morning Drip, on Wolverine's Wire. This morning where I said, like, you know, they play games for a reason. You can't write off, you know, a win against Western Michigan or Washington just yet, just because it's a directional school or because Washington lost the first two games of the season, because you don't know what's going to happen down the road, right? Teams can get better. Teams can get worse. You know, a game that looks like it could be a big game ends up not being one. Whereas on the other end, you know, a game that looks like it's not going to be, you know, not a big game. I think about Penn State in 2016. People thought that James Franklin might be on the way out after losing 49-10 against Michigan, and then, you know, rattles off a bunch of wins going after that and ends up winning the Big Ten. So you never know what you're going to get per se. But how sustainable do you think this is for Michigan? Because I think that's where fans have a lot of PTSD right now, is because they just feel like, all right, that's great. We won the three, you know, we won two games we were supposed to win. Washington was thought of as a toss up, at least going into the season. And now Big Ten schedule starts. So it's people want to know, like, can I really believe in this team? Cause I've been burnt before. So like, how much of what you're seeing at least looks the part of being a team that can continue to have this type of success or not?
I think for me, the concern is going to be, can they beat man coverage when you're playing against a team who can really play man coverage without your top receiver? That, you know, Ronnie Brown is there. Sorry, Ronnie Bell is there. Like, I'm thinking pretty highly. But eventually you're going to run into a team who's going to play a lot of man. And they're going to just say, hey, beat us. Beat us one-on-one. Have fun. Beat us one-on-one. Can the rest of the Michigan, you know, receiving core, including tight ends, can they do that? And that to me is the number one thing. Now, with that said, you know, the team that plays the most man, maybe this is changing with what's going on in Columbus, but, you know, the team that plays the most man is Ohio State. They can't play man. Like, they play it, they're not good at it. So maybe it'll work out. Maybe that's, you know, maybe they just won't go against a team that can really test them, you know, with the cornerbacks and playing in man coverage. So maybe that is the positive outlook on it. But, you know, there is going to be a team, I would imagine, that'll just say, hey, beat us. And can they do that? And then the other concern would be, hey, maybe the offensive line isn't as good as we think it is. I think it's really good. And like I said, they're doing a lot of stuff to confuse defenses. So maybe they'll be able to, like, scheme open some runs. That would be my other concern. But I think so far, I mean, I just really like what they're doing offensively. Even defensively, it looks really interesting. So, they got a tough opponent in Rutgers this week. Like, let's not discount Rutgers. But, you know, you're hoping that they can just keep doing what they're doing and they'll get some wins out of it.
Well, last one for you, just out of curiosity, because now we didn't do preseason projections or anything with you because we only started talking to you a couple weeks ago here. But how much have you recalibrated your expectations for Michigan? What do you think, just based off of what you've seen so far? I'm going to put you on the spot. How do you think they finish down the stretch?
Well, I think, you know, we're looking at it from the preseason perspective. It's like, hey, you had two Big Ten schools who had horrible years last year, Penn State and Michigan. And I think we all thought that, you know, it was probably an aberration for Penn State and they'll be bounced back. And we've kind of seen that so far this year. But for Michigan, we were like, you know, I don't know. Like, this is a team that's not really trending, that not trending in the right direction. And in fact, they're probably treading water. But so far, they look good. So they've definitely improved on what I thought we would get out of Michigan this year. Like you said, like, the Washington game is still a good win for them. Washington, so far, I mean, again, Washington could lose 100 games this year and then we might look at it differently. But Washington is still a good program. So that's a really, really big win for them. So it definitely has adjusted what I've seen out of them so far. And look, at the end of the day, you're supposed to blow out teams that you're better than. And they did it. You know what I mean? They're not like, they didn't let Northern Illinois or Western Michigan or Washington hang around with them. They said, it's done. We're done. It's over. First quarter, we're done. So, like, that is super important. Yes, you know, again, they're not great programs, like the two group of five schools they played, but you have to beat them and show that you are a top dog. And they've done that in the three games. So I'm excited for the future. I say that, and I'm going to jinx them. They're going to lose to Rutgers, but I am excited for Michigan football right now.
All right. Well, I appreciate your perspective. It's Seth Galina from PFF.com. Go check out his stuff. Get a subscription there like me. I have a subscription. I'm literally using it all the time. I'm working on a ranking of the quarterbacks in the Big Ten Conference, as according to what PFF is grading right now, not literally right now, but as soon as we get done with the podcast, I'm going to return to it as I was doing earlier this morning. So definitely worth the price of admission or subscription, PFF.com. Thank you, Seth. Appreciate you, man.
No problem. Anytime, dude.
All right. So big thanks to Seth Galina for joining us again. We are going to continue to just give some thoughts about, this is probably going to be very brief, but give some thoughts about what he had to say and go from there. But it's that time of year again, and all eyes are now turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron. Football season is underway. As always, betonline.ag is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. You can get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including the $500,000. I think I'm outdated here. So anyway, what I will tell you is head over to betonline.ag. Use that mobile device. Sign up today. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your 100% welcome bonus. Now, betonline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports, from football, basketball, boxing, right to horse racing. Don't wait. Take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, so really good stuff from Seth. We did a little bit more overarching stuff with him. He's kind of, like, as you heard, all over the place as far as NFL and in college, and he gets to watch. He watches all the Michigan games, but didn't want to necessarily, considering the volume that he's going through, didn't want to want to do like we did last time and be like, how's Vincent Gray's tackling? What's Cade McNamara's throwing motion? You know, like that was a little much. Anyhow, I think that you have to feel good about the fact that Michigan is obviously 3-0. I understand Michigan ain't played nobody, Paul, but it looked awesome in all three games so far. Right? If your only concern is that Michigan didn't attempt to really throw the ball that much against Washington, I know it wasn't the greatest even when they did 7-for-15. I mean, you're doing pretty good, right? Because they're throttling teams without even needing to throw the ball. And what, you know, like what Seth said, the spread, I mean, everyone's running the spread now. You do wonder, and we have seen under Jim Harbaugh in the past where they leave a lot in the bag when it comes to what they are capable of offensively until they get to the meat of the schedule. So I would expect to see a lot more against Wisconsin, because you know it's going to be hard to run against Wisconsin. They're going to need to throw. This Rutgers team is going to be tougher. Their defense has been really good, ranked number 15 in the nation right now. Of course, they have lost Max Melton for this game due to his arrest. There's a lot that can, will, should happen, you know, going forward. I would expect to see a lot more from what the offense is doing. But, I mean, the fact that you're back to all kinds of different formations, really imaginative. It didn't feel imaginative after week one last year, but it's remained after 3 weeks, right? They aren't just going out there and being like, well, we're Michigan, we should win. They're like doing kind of what you might remember in 2015, especially with some of the pro-style looks, is just kind of being like, yeah, we're going to do a million different things, so I hope you can figure it out, you know? It's a weird misconception that Jim Harbaugh runs this archaic offense. He's never really run an archaic offense. Maybe Pep Hamilton's offense for 2 years was a little bit more on the nose. But when Jim Harbaugh came in and had his pro-style offense in 2015, in 2016, it was like they have a million different things that they do. It might be pro style, but it's just as fun as a spread because it's just constantly doing a million different things. You might remember the train formation, lots of different stuff going on there. And it's when Michigan's offense stopped being exciting after 2016, suddenly it was, well, you know, that's just it's old ground and pound. And it might kind of look like that to some degree, but it's not just that, you know? So is what it is. I think this has a potential to be a really good team, but we'll see going forward. Like, I think the thing is take everything you read and hear and watch with a grain of salt, knowing, yeah, it can go downhill at any given point in time. That's true for anybody, you know? Ohio State could suddenly become Rutgers of the past. Probably won't, obviously, but could at any point in time. It could become USC and Texas at any point. It really could. Not saying that's going to happen, but, like, you know, back in, like, 2007, if you told USC and Texas fans, like, guess what? The next decade, your teams are going to be essentially irrelevant. I mean, Texas obviously went to the national championship game in, like, 2009 or whatever, but it's, you know, if you said, hey, you're going to be irrelevant after this, good luck. Texas fans wouldn't have believed you, right? USC fans coming off of, you know, all of those great teams and quarterbacks and Heisman winners and everything wouldn't have believed you. It'd be like, yeah, right. No, we're going to be great. Play games for a reason. That's what my morning drip was about today. So keep that in mind. Anyway, that's going to do it for us today. Thank you for watching and listening. We'll be back tomorrow, Wednesday, with something else. Don't know what yet offhand. I'm sure it'll be a lot of reaction to whatever the players we have at the Tuesday night press conference, what they have to say as we continue to look forward to this Michigan-Rutgers Big Ten opener on Saturday. So we'll talk to you soon. Peace.